Hello, everyone. This is Anayla Mangum, editor of the Vanderbilt Political Review. We're here for the third part in our series, Presidential Elections, Past and Present. Today, we're here with Thomas Schwartz, professor of history and professor of political science. Thank you for being with me today.
Okay, thank you for having me on this.
So, how do you think this election compares to previous elections? In what ways is it similar? In what ways would you say it is new?
I think this election is unusual, particularly because the Republican Party selected a candidate in Donald Trump who is so different from its conventional or more traditional approaches in both domestic and foreign policy. Hillary Clinton, though, is very similar to the Democratic brand. She's not at all unusual, and in fact, it's almost as if the Republicans and Democrats switched places in terms of how conventional she is as a Democrat and how it was so expected that she would be the nominee. That's very similar to how the Republicans tended to nominate their candidates. It was always the person who finished second in the previous election cycle. So Romney finished second to McCain in 2008. McCain had finished second to Bush in 2000. And so they tended to take their second person. And in this case, Hillary was second to Barack Obama, and then simply now succeeds him as the Democratic nominee. The Republican selection of Trump makes this an unusual election because Trump is such an unusual candidate in his posture, his behavior, his rhetoric. Everything is very different about him, and that, I think, has made this a very different election.
In your classes, you emphasize the relationship between U.S. foreign policy and domestic issues. Could you explain this relationship?
Well, the fundamental point about this is that American foreign policy essentially rests very much on support from the American electorate, from the American public. That support is usually given if people trust their leadership and are willing to or see them as moving forward constructively in foreign policy. And so there is a very strong relationship between public opinion and the making of foreign policy. And so domestic effects, domestic issues can then influence foreign policy behavior. And the most striking element of that in this particular campaign is the degree to which the Republican electorate has rejected the previous Bush policies on Iraq and the Middle East, and has in effect almost become as anti-interventionist and isolationist as they once accused the Democratic Party of being. And so, in effect, Trump has exploited and used a domestic political antagonism toward American involvement in the Middle East to really shape a very different vision of foreign policy. And he's challenged the conventional American internationalism that's been a part of our history for the last 70 years in quite fundamental ways. So this domestic and foreign relationship is complicated, but it certainly is reflected in the two candidates.
What international issues are the most pressing this election?
Well, what seems to be the most pressing in one sense is the relationship with Russia, and particularly Putin. That certainly has been the one that has gotten so much attention, and particularly Russia's involvement now in Syria, Russia's aggression in the Ukraine, and the question of dealing with Russia, which divides the two candidates, I think, quite starkly. To the extent that people recognize that trade, of course, is an international issue, and trade has become a stark divide between the candidates, and immigration is also a international issue. We don't normally think of them because they tend to be lower profile and tend to be directed more toward Congress than the president, and we tend to think of foreign policy issues as involving the use of military force and the president's role. But in this election, almost all the issues, some of the most significant issues, do have these foreign policy dimensions. The question of terrorism, which seemed to be the leading issue, has faded a bit because we haven't had a recent attack. But that's certainly right up there and could, of course, emerge as the central issue were there to be another attack.
Do you think that foreign policy is more or less important in this election than in previous years?
Well, I think foreign policy is much more important in this election, for example, than 2012. 2012, it almost disappeared from the debate between Romney and Obama. In 2008, it looked like it was going to be important with the Iraq War, but the success of the surge led Obama not to emphasize his opposition to the war in Iraq. And in fact, the election largely turned on the economy more than on foreign policy issues. So probably in terms of comparison, this one is closest to the 2004 election, where terrorism and the aftermath of 9/11 made foreign policy issues central.
How does the average citizen view these large international issues?
Well, foreign policy issues are always complicated and complex, and so I think average citizens, although they have a sense of what's going on, they might have a sense of what's going on in the world, often see them through the prism of their candidates. And I think the candidates have a lot to do with shaping the vision of foreign policy. So I think Donald Trump has actually shaped a particular narrative on American foreign policy. It's a disaster. It's all going very badly. And Hillary Clinton has, on the one hand, tried to vindicate the vision of the Obama years. On the other hand, sort of slyly suggested she'll be somewhat tougher. For example, we're interested in a no-fly zone in Syria. So I think the average citizen usually sees these issues through their partisanship and their role in the candidates rather than in any independent way. But there is a sort of larger sense that people have of whether the United States is being effective in international affairs. And I think the sense that the United States is not is one of the things that actually both candidates, in a way, are saying, although they have different solutions to that.
Why should the average citizen care about American foreign policy?
Well, American foreign policy now really affects us in many ways. If you think about foreign policy broadly, of course issues of war and peace affect people, not just soldiers' families, but all of us in a sense are affected by the deployment of American military power, or should be. We should think of this seriously in terms of our soldiers and the people who serve the country. But foreign policy issues now deeply affect our economy. Trade is a central part of the American economy. The immigration and the refugees that have been created by war and conflict, of course, are also clearly an important issue in the United States these days. So even if one takes a emphasis on the domestic economy, one has to recognize how much we are integrated and connected to the rest of the world, and foreign policy recognizes that.
How have past presidents and policymakers constructed their foreign policy?
Well, they, on the whole, American foreign policy is usually remarkable for its continuities. We have several institutions in place, both in terms of our executive authority, the intelligence community, institutions of our alliances, institutions involved with the management of the international economy. And while there are changes usually at the edges between various political candidates, on the whole, there's been a large sense of continuity, especially since World War II, in terms of how America defines its role in the world and the sort of active role it plays in managing alliances and managing the international order. This election has been particularly fundamental because Donald Trump has raised real issues regarding that and challenging the fundamentals of that relationship. And so in that sense, I think Hillary Clinton, while she would largely continue in that direction, with Trump, we would have a very different structure, I think. And so for that reason, I think he would probably have to go well outside the usual parameters of our foreign policy, the types of people selected for foreign policy, to find people to implement the sorts of things he intends to do. But I think on the whole, there's been a great deal of continuity in foreign policy because of the institutions and alliances that have largely defined what America's position is.
In the news lately, there has been a lack of coverage on certain international events, particularly the attack on Mosul and activities in Yemen. What news sources would you recommend to stay up to date on important events like these?
Well, I think particularly these are usually going to be followed much more intensively by foreign news sources. The BBC has kept a great deal of coverage both on Yemen and Mosul. The British, of course, have a great deal of interest in the Middle East and have been following it intensely. I think that also holds in some of the other international news agencies. But yes, I would probably encourage to follow this, the British media and The Economist and the BBC as good sources for this. Also, Real Clear World, a branch of Real Clear Politics, one of the better websites, also contains a lot of materials directly related to this, as well as journals like Foreign Affairs and Foreign Policy.
Why do you think that there's been a lack of coverage on these events in the American media?
because they usually don't bring what I guess you would say would be clicks, but or ratings. International news has largely never been a great source outside, unless American soldiers are directly involved and covered in massive ways. There's usually not the degree of interest. And in Mosul, the American role is very behind the scenes. And so the scale of stories and the ability to cover these stories is limited. The hazards of covering these are much greater than they used to be in terms of the degree of threat to reporters. So that's also a factor. But most importantly, it's because, unfortunately, most Americans don't really care as much about these issues as they do about other ones. And so there's a relative lack of real coverage. And that reflects, I think, sometimes the profit motives of our major news organizations.
Are the challenges that we see in the United States new? Do these international challenges have any precedent?
They are not new in the sense that we have been challenged before in many of the same ways. What might be new is that this campaign has underlined a very sharp challenge to traditional American internationalism. And this may mean that it might be harder, even if Hillary Clinton wins the election, for her to continue American foreign policy as active as has been in the past, simply because there is such a substantial skepticism now about American international involvement. What we need is probably some successes in international affairs that would reassure people that American foreign policy is not handled by, as Donald Trump put it last night, stupid people. That was a tremendous oversimplification, but it resonates with a lot of his supporters, and it probably resonates even more broadly, this idea. People don't trust the government, they don't trust the institutions, and that does affect our conduct of foreign policy. But no, we've seen challenges like this in the past, and in many ways the world is not as difficult as it was during the Cold War, when the United States really, there was great danger of say, direct nuclear attack. The challenges are not that new, but some of the domestic situations and the domestic political angle is different.
Lastly, you're also interested in campaign advertising. What has been your favorite campaign based on TV advertising throughout the 20th century?
Oh, it's hard to pick one favorite. I do think that it's the. Even though I'm skeptical about the claims made, I do think the Nixon campaign in 68 innovated in some really quite remarkable ways the types of ads it used. Some of them were not very honest, but they certainly worked in effective ways in terms of creating a mood and a narrative. I also think the Reagan campaign of 1980 had some very effective advertising in terms of trying to create a particular perception of where the United States was in 1980, and I think that was very effective advertising. Of course, in 84, they went back to a sort of nostalgic America is back and it's morning in America. So in a way, they showed their skill with advertising. The big question here, and one of the more interesting questions, is whether television advertising is really as important as we thought of it in the past. We thought it was really important, but Donald Trump has been massively outspent, but he has shown that you can use free media as well. But one of the things that I think will be an interesting postmortem in this election is whether Hillary Clinton's ads, some of which have used Donald Trump's words and actions, have had any real effect. And I think there might be a sort of reconsideration of how significant television advertising is now in a new media environment. Maybe the internet and other aspects, other ways of reaching voters, is going to eclipse television advertising. But it's an interesting, this campaign is particularly interesting in that regard.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.